Did you hear that?
What was that? Hear what?
Stanley, I heard someone say hello.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish here. Anybody, literally anybody could have just said hello.
There.
Where am I looking?
There.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Yeah, well, where are your parents?
Hi, I lost my family.
Where did you see them last?
I forgot. I was looking for something and I... Okay, totally get it. Date night. I suffer from short-term memory loss. It runs in my family. At least I think it does. Where are they?
Dory, there you are!
Guys!
Look out!
Ah!
Oh, look at this.
Our friend got taken into whatever this place is.
It's a fish hospital.
I feel fantastic!
Dude.
Name's Hank.
I have to find my family.
That's a hard one, kid.
Well, I guess you're stuck here.
You're not helping, Dale.
Grab the things!
I lost my family.
That is so sad. You weren't the...
Not a great swimmer.
Our friend is in here, lost, alone.
Bailey, you've got to use your echolocation.
Ooh, I feel stupid.
Poor baby. Let me get that for you. Woo!
Finding Nemo came out 2003. Now, I know a lot of people that's been waiting on a sequel. Well, 13 years later, you finally got it with Finding Dory. I just looked up how much Nemo cost made and all that stuff. Apparently, I was rated G. I didn't know that. But that movie made $936 million worldwide. Holy fuck. So I think it's safe to say that that was a huge hit. And that this one will most likely be a hit as well. And I guess we go ahead and kick it off with a plot synopsis here. We open up with a younger version of Dory. I don't know if that was Ellen DeGeneres that did all the younger voices of Dory. I don't think so. I'm looking it up right now. Sloane Murray did young Dory. And I thought Dory had like three different voices. Obviously, you hear the baby one where she's, hello. And then I think when she gets a little older, you hear a different voice. I don't know if that one was Ellen or not. And then Ellen DeGeneres comes in as the Dory we all know and love. She makes her return, and, you know, she's hanging out with Nemo and Marlin, which is her father, played by Albert Brooks, Nemo by Hayden Rowlands. And they're going on this field trip, and then she starts to have these... I guess flash memories is what someone called, because people, she suffers from short-term memory loss. Ellen DeGeneres is about to get fucking paid for this shit. God damn, I'm looking at this money, baby. Look at this money. But so she's having flash memories when, you know, certain keywords and moments that are happening on this little trip are triggering flash memories in her head. And she remembers that, oh, I had a family. I have to find them. And they were in California, which is, I forgot the California Reserve or something like that. So, you know, they make a trip out to across the ocean. Marlin agrees to go with it just because, you know, Dory kind of said, do you know what it's like to remember something and have lost it? And, you know, hit that little sad emotion right there. Very, I wouldn't say heavy-handed, but it's very... It's not as fun in that first opening movie, minutes as you think it would be. It's actually kind of sad. And then next, you know, they take that turtle ride, make their way to California, only for Dory to be picked up by, I guess, I don't know what you call it. I guess like fish experts or whatever, something like that, to take them back into this little land of fishes or whatever, if you will. Like an amusement park, like SeaWorld, if you will, and put them in there, heal her back up, and, you know, put her in there with the bluefish. Because that's where she was from. Found out where, that's where she was from. And thus, it takes Nemo and Marlin to free her while Dory teams up with Ed O'Neill, who voices Hank the Octopus. I forgot what the hell she called him in this film because he was missing an arm or tentacle. And she teams up with him, and he has a deal with her. His deal is, give me your tag because you're going to, I think it was Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and because Ed O'Neill's whole thing is he just want to be left alone. He just want to be gone away from people and all kinds of other fishes and stuff. And Dory's like, I'll give you this tag if you help me find my family. And then she, you know, she runs into familiar friends, if you will, but mainly the shark, which was... The hell was that shark's name? Oh, Destiny. Caitlin Olsen, who played her. And, you know, Destiny helps her, in a way, find her family. And only to find out that, you know, her family might be dead until certain occurrences happen. And they may not be dead. And there goes your plot synopsis. All right, so I absolutely like this movie a lot. I don't know how I can say love. I was planning on watching Finding Nemo first. So I remember liking that movie a hell of a lot. And I was planning on watching it, but, you know, obviously traveling and shit like that, that kind of prevented me from doing that. So I don't have anything to compare it on. And plus, I don't want to really fucking compare it on, because I can tell from here that it does have the same story as Finding Nemo as far as, you know, the whole... I guess the fish isn't lost here, but she's more so looking for something. It's, you know, taking a path in the Albert Brooks' character from Finding Nemo. And, you know, I read one review where it was like, oh, it's beat for beat Finding Nemo, which I wholeheartedly disagree with. Beat for beat is Star Wars The Force Awakens. That's beat for beat. This one has the story concept of Finding Nemo, but it doesn't follow the same formula as Finding Nemo actually had a lot more jokes in it. This one, although the jokes are there, this one is more of, I don't want to say a downer, but I would say this one is a little bit, tad bit more serious. And that is until they get to this little park and they run into, I don't even know these characters' name, to be honest. I just know the actors that play, well, at least one of the actors. And there's a running joke in here with Sigourney Weaver, it's her voice. Where Dory's just like, I hear someone who can help me. Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. And so actually Sigourney Weaver, that was her voice that did that. But it was Idris Elba. And I think it was Dominic West. I want to say it was Dominic West. I could be wrong, but whatever. Who played Fluke and Rooter. And those are two sea lions. And I love it because Albert Marlin is just like, oh, don't trust the sea lion. They'll pounce on you in a minute. And they're all like lazy and relaxed. And then they got this, who's clearly mentally challenged, sea lion who just jumps on the rock. And they're like, off, get off. They make such a bit. It's at the end of the trailer, people. It's funny as hell in the actual movie. I mean, it's funny in the trailer, but it's funny as hell even in the movie. I love it because even at the end of the movie, they was like, oh, we got to see Dory and all of them try to track down their parent. We got to see this. It's going to be a spectacle at the end of the movie. And then as soon as they leave the rock, the mentally challenged sea lion, he gets on top of it. And they just turn around. They start freeing. They're like, oh, you better get off that rock. It was a funny-ass bit. I mean, Idris Elba, I don't like this dude. But I'd be damned if I don't say he's killing it this year with Disney. I mean, his voice work is fucking great. I mean, maybe that's what he's made for, because damn sure ain't live action acting. But he killed it in Zootopia. He's great in fucking Jungle Book, and he was funny as hell in this movie. Especially when they call this bird to come and help Nemo and Marlin out to get them into the park, if you will. And there's this bird, and it was funny as hell, because this bird is like a crackhead, basically. It's got these bulging red eyes and shit like that, and they're just like, oh, you just gotta look him in the eye, and he'll sync with you, and he'll do whatever you say. And this shit was hilarious for the simple fact that this bird is like tweaking and shit. His hair is all fucked up compared to the other birds or whatever. I mean, just the look of that bird was just funny enough, but the shit it was doing too is like, Nemo's like, oh, I trust him. He's a good bird. I forgot the bird's name, people. And then he's like, the bird is eating the damn bucket or whatever. Like, it stopped eating the popcorn, started eating the bucket and shit like that. I mean, it was that bird. It was a visual funny gag for me. Dory herself, Ellen DeGeneres, she's fantastic in this film. She really does a great job. I mean, and that, you know, I was thinking about that too, because I was wondering if that whole memory thing was going to get on my nerves, because it opens up with her constantly forgetting stuff. And, you know, she has kind of a, that whole octopus scene you see in the film that lights up blue and stuff, which a beautiful animation done on that, by the way. It kind of, I wouldn't say cause conflict between Marlin, but there was, you know, a part where Nemo almost got eaten and Marlin kind of yelled at her a little bit and he kind of felt guilty, and even Nemo kept guilt tripping him into wanting to help Dory find his way, just because of he feels blamed for Dory getting taken into this place. But Dory herself, like I said, I thought it was going to get annoying, just because how many times are you going to do this? Oh, I forgot what's going on or something like that. And I thought the movie actually did that well. It didn't never felt annoying. Every time she got closer, it was almost like a mystery. Every time she got closer to something that she could recognize or something like that, she was having flash memories of what was going on. I thought it was done really well, how they kept that throughout the whole film. And I love the flashbacks when she gets closer to the scene, because the flashbacks show, like, when she was just a baby fish. I don't know what the hell, a tadpole or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And you see the parents. There was one night where they were talking about her, and the mother was crying, and she was like, oh, I don't know how she's going to live in the world out there and stuff like that. She can't remember anything. She can't even go anywhere. And I thought it was a great commentary on how parents deal with children that may have disabilities or something like that. There was a lot of, obviously it was a critic scream, but there was a lot of grown-ups. But there was kids in there as well, too. You know, these critics have kids, and they bring their kids. And everyone was having a good time. But I heard some grown-ass men and women crying in that theater. They were crying. I heard it. And I ain't gonna lie, there was a scene in here that, man, I didn't cry, but it was like, yeah, this is, I'm gonna get a little teary-eyed maybe. You know, I can feel the feels in this moment right here. And that's mainly when the part where she found out that her parents were dead. Is when she meet all the other blue fishes and shit like that. And I love it because Albert Brooks, Marlon, he cares character, he's like, look, they all look alike. Just pick two and let's get out of here now. That was pretty funny. But they tell her, oh, after you left, your parents went looking for you and they've never been there. They're gone now. And, you know, she had this moment. I love it because you can see the POV version of Dory through her eyes and stuff. And she started, like, almost having, like, a fucking nervous shock down or something like that, because she started seeing things blurry and she was shaking and shit like that. Or, I mean, it was really damn good how they did this scene too. And then after that, everything just goes to shit. Nemo and Marlin get stuck in this truck, and she gets washed down into the sewers, only to fall back outside of the park and then back into the waters and stuff like that. And she just lost memory of everything and what she was supposed to do. And she was trying her best. She was running around. And this was the part of the movie I was like, holy shit, this is kind of... I mean, because the ocean was empty and stuff. All you saw was seaweed and just dirty-ass water. And I was just like, damn, this is a fucking depressing-ass scene right here. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, wow, y'all working those tears right now. I was like, you know, Pixar... And Disney, for that matter. Yeah, man, they definitely found that formula for these animated movies to try to pull on them damn strings like a tugboat or whatever. I mean, because I was, like, looking at this, and you seeing Dory panic and frustrated and stuff. I was just like, all right, this is kind of sad right here, actually. I was like, this is kind of sad. It's like almost like a child that loses memory and I'm pretty much like if a child had Alzheimer's or something like that and got lost and forgot all about her parents or something like that, even Nemo and stuff like that. It was really handled well, I gotta say. And I really do like that that social context, if you will, of the whole parents and how they might have raised their, you know, special needs children or anything like that, or who needs definitely some attention towards them. And, you know, once it gets into the ending, it's just this one big, massive-ass car chase. And people probably wondering, how the fuck is there a car chase in a fish movie here? And it's basically, oh, before I go again get into that, I got to talk about Ty Burrell, who plays Bailey. I forgot what the fuck that whale is called, to be honest, too. It has that sonar vision or whatever. This motherfucker straight up gets Daredevil vision. And, you know, when it knocks back in, and I thought he was great. I ain't gonna lie, I thought that was Bill Hader throughout most of the movie. I was like, I could not tell. But Bill Hader is the fish that you see at the opening of the trailer. Because I thought Bill Hader was doing multiple voices in this film. And it was just a cameo for him, but it was still, because I think Kate McKinnon was his wife fish. And damn, Kate McKinnon is just all over the fucking place this year. Jesus Christ, girl. Either it's a fucking cameo or a back pass or something like that. Well, but she's just all over it. But Ty Burrell's Bailey, he was funny as hell. Idris Elba, I thought that was, basically, that was one of the funniest fucking shits in the whole damn movie, to be honest. They have this car chase, though. And Dory is like, finally found her family, because, you know, as she's freaking out, she saw these seashells and she saw a trail, because when she was a child, She kept saying how much she loved seashells, and her family made a trail of seashells leading to the house and said, if you ever get lost, follow the trail of seashells. And she follows this trail of seashells, and it runs up just a mountain of seashells following this one pipe home, I guess, or whatever. She finds her family. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Diane Keaton and Eugene Levy played Charlie and Jenny. They were the voice of her parents. And I could not tell that was Diane Keaton. Okay. And, you know, they found her and stuff like that. And you know, Dory was feeling upset about it because she was like, I think I ruined everything. It was another one of those tearful moments where I was like, yep, I hear the people crying in here now. I hear it. And it was a really damn good scene, too, I must say. And she felt guilty pretty much saying, you know, I broke up the family and all that. And they were like, they were, you know, motivating her, telling her, no, what you did was, you know, admirable. What you did was great. You found your way home. I mean, no one can take that from you and stuff like that. But only for Dory to remember that she's got to save Nemo and Marlin now. And it almost seemed like, I don't want to say she kind of forgot about her parents, but then, you know, in that moment she realized those two were my other, that was my other family, and I got to save them right away. So they got this whole plan of breaking into this truck, saving the Marlin and them. And she does. She gets Marlin and them out. That fucking bird comes back into play. I don't even know where this fucking bird is. This retarded bird with this bucket came, saved only fucking Nemo and Marlin. Just left Dory's ass there. And then throws them back into the water. And then, you know, that's when they meet the mother and father as well. And they bond and connect and stuff like that. Only to have this moment where, oh, Dory's fucked now. But then, you know, Hank comes back into play, who I thought was probably the best character that was in the movie for the longest. I thought he was fucking fantastic. He was great. He wasn't in the first movie, people. I don't think Jeffrey Rush is in this. No, he's not in this. A lot of the characters from the previous film, they're definitely not in this film. But if you want to introduce new ones, Hank was definitely a great one. He just was probably my favorite, but he was only in it for maybe three scenes. I mean, he probably had, it was damn near just a cameo, to be exact. But Hank definitely was the highlight of the movie. And he comes and he's pretty much about to save Dory, only for her to give him this long speech about how he doesn't need to be in Cleveland and he should come live with her because they're family now and stuff like that, and only for that fucking door to close on their asses. And then it turns into, okay, now we gotta get back to the ocean. The water's cut off now, so the other family, Nemo and them, they can't follow her. So now they're just, it's up to Dory and Hank, and they end up stealing this truck, and they have a fucking car chase scene with the police officers as they're driving in the middle of traffic, and Dory is fucking up on her memory right now how to get to ocean until she sees seagulls. And when the cops try to block them off, she decides to run the truck off a cliff right into the ocean. And they did it in slow motion and played this music, and it was fucking fantastic, I must say. It was a fucking highlight. I think that third act is where it definitely speeds up, because I thought the pacing in here was good. But as far as it speeds up, it's just hilarious hijinks and stuff like that. Because of the rest of the movie, there's jokes thrown in there, but it's kind of, I don't want to say dark. It's definitely not dark, obviously, but it's kind of emotional, I guess. It has that story going for it, and you know, when you get to that conclusion of it, because the whole movie, I'm not gonna lie, I was like waiting for Dory, and just like, you're gonna end up being told that your parents are dead, because you know how Disney likes fucking killing parents and shit like that. And even when they said they were dead, I was like, I don't know why I'm shocked by this. I mean, Disney loves killing fucking fathers and mothers, to be honest. Mainly fathers, for that matter, too. They probably said, we can't do that on this day. It's fucking Father's Day weekend. We cannot do that. But, no. So, it's kind of not as hilarious and hijinks ensues as either Finding Nemo or this last third act. This third act just goes balls to the wall. I wouldn't say crazy, because crazy would mean that it didn't make any damn sense. Makes perfect sense, makes ton of sense. They go back to her home, and next, you know, Dory has all of her family. It's a happy ending. The ending, though, it ends with Dory, you know, out on the reef staring talking about this view is great, and you know, Marlon comes out and joins her, and they have this heart-to-heart moment, and the screen just shoots up from the camera, and it ends like that. And I was like, God damn, fucking Pixar, man. You guys, like I said, you know how to pull those fucking strings, or whatever. You end on such those beautiful notes there. I don't think this is better than Zootopia or Inside Out. But, yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of this film a lot. The voice acting here is just fucking fantastic all around. The animation, didn't even get me started on the fucking animation. This is what goes to show when you got money and you put it into something. I mean, I'd be shocked if Disney ever put money into something and it came out looking cheap and destroyed like a motherfucker. This looked beautiful. It was world building, if you will. I mean, the water itself, just the way they swim in it. I love the chase scenes that they had. It made it seem adventurous, if you will. The characters here and that were introduced, they were great. They all filled real their role. Once again, Idris Elba killed it for me. He stole the show once again for me. That guy is funny as hell. But you know what? Just keep doing Disney movies, goddammit. Just keep doing voice work. Keep doing Disney movies. And you should be fine with me. I'm starting to like this. Probably you're gonna be my breakout star of the year because this guy has been on a roll month to month with a Disney film, killing it. He's been killing it. There's nothing, no point about it. Ellen DeGeneres, I definitely got to give her credit how she handled herself, because she's definitely playing one of those characters that could probably come off annoying, but she does so much with those big ass eyes and shit like that in this film. Oh, well, at least the animation does so much with the eyes and the voice work itself, because the tone of the voice that Ellen DeGeneres does with it, it's just so fucking fantastic on how she does it. She's about to get paid. She's about to get paid. Ed O'Neill, I can see him as Hank. That's probably going to be the breakout star for in this movie for viewers that go and watch this. But all in all, man, I enjoyed this film. I liked it a lot. I'm definitely going to own it when it comes out. I think people should go see it. Families, adults, grown-ass men, women, whatever. Just go ahead and see it. So I'm going to go ahead and give this a see it. I'm not going to go high see it. It's not one of my favorites. Nor was I really looking for a sequel to this. I didn't really know what to expect out of this, to be honest. And I got something that was not only enjoyable, but it was entertaining as hell. So yeah, I'm definitely giving it a see it too. But now for Finding Dory 3, or Finding, or whatever you want to call it, the next sequel to this film, it easily should be about those sea lions. You should make it about Gerald, the mentally challenged sea lion, and find out why he was never allowed on the rocks. Well, I think it was just because he was mentally challenged. I'm not going to lie to you, honest. But I want to see this for the next third movie.
Don't you?
Definitely want to see that for the next movie.
She should just pick two and let's go.
Dad.
What? I'm kidding. I get the feeling they're shushing us for a reason.
Like something with one big eye, tentacles, and a snappy thing?
Well, that's very specific, but something like that.
Somewhere out there is my family. I can't find them on my own.
Hang on, Dory!
Sir, something!
Get to me!
I don't want to be touched.
Sorry.
That's okay. Everybody does it. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Becky's eating a cup.
Just keep swimming.
Mom, Dad.
Does this mean we have to say goodbye to Dory?
I don't know why I thought I could do this.
Dory, you are about to find your parents. And when you do that, you'll be
home.
Sea lions, they are natural predators. They could pounce at any moment.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry about a thing.